Okay, so the verse that the Lord's laid on my heart is from Jeremiah, and it's chapter 31 and is verse 3. And it says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness. I will build you up again. That's an amazing word from God. And I believe that's to all of us, and that God wants to encourage us as well. So can we just say it together? Could you repeat after me? Is that all right this morning? So we're just repeating the word of God, and I want you to get this into your spirit this morning because it's life-changing. Okay? I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness. I will build you up again. The context for this verse is 7th century BC, and the people of Judah were going through very dark and difficult times. They had turned from God to idolatry, injustice, and immorality. Exactly the same thing in our nation now was happening back then. And as a result, God allowed the Babylonian army to come into Judah and to invade it. They destroyed Jerusalem, and the people of God were taken into exile. And yet God, who is rich in mercy, gives them hope by reminding them of his everlasting love. And he sends the prophet Jeremiah to them. So this morning, if you're going through a dark and a difficult time. This morning, if you're struggling with loneliness, God wants to remind you this morning that he loves you with an everlasting love. This morning, maybe you're feeling like a complete and utter failure. Maybe you've had a bad week. You've messed up really bad. You shouted at your wife or your wife shouted at you. Things have gone wrong. You're feeling really down. Maybe you're far away from God. Nobody else knows, but you know you're far away from God. This morning, God wants you to know, I have loved you with an everlasting love. But corporately, as a church, God wants you to know, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with cords of loving kindness. Jesus dying upon the cross for us, and he will build you up again. Hallelujah. Do you believe that? If you look to Jesus, he will build you up again. Hallelujah. I just want to share with you a story of a person called Samuel Francis. In 1834, he was a troubled teenager. He had many suicidal thoughts. He was struggling with depression. He was feeling alone. And he's in London, and he goes to Hungerford Bridge in London over the River Thames. And he's thinking about throwing himself into that river. And in that hurt, and in that brokenness, the love of God descends on this young man. Rescues him at that moment. And it's Jesus saves it, he moves around. And then he wrote this hymn, and this hymn means a lot to me. I don't know if you know it. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus, vast, unmeasured, boundless free, flowing as a mighty ocean in its fullness over me, underneath me, all around me is the current of thy love, leading onward, leading homeward to thy glorious rest above. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus, 'tis a heaven of heavens to me, and it lifts me up to glory, and it lifts me up to thee. I love the other old hymn that says, love lifted me. Love lifted me when no one but Christ could help. Love lifted me. Aren't we thankful this morning? I am. Amen. Sometimes in my life, I've been so low, so lonely, feeling depressed. I would go home, not hardly say a word to Yitka. I work as an RE teacher. I can do 50 or 60 hours a week at times and different things like that. Different things can happen. You can feel alone and you can feel lonely, and my Labrador knows. But God knows. How many times has God lifted you out of the mire? How many times? Just be honest this morning. How many of you have ever struggled with depression? Could you put your hands up? Could you just have an honesty, a vulnerability in God? Thank you for sharing of that. And with loneliness and things like that. God sees these things. And he draws alongside us. Does anybody know who Charles Spurgeon is? Could you put your hand up again if you know who Charles Spurgeon is? Some people don't know, perhaps the younger people. And so Charles Spurgeon was a famous Baptist preacher. And if you like, he was a mega church preacher before there was mega churches. And he preached faithfully the word of God in London. And thousands and thousands and thousands of people came to him. And he outgrew the church and the places where they met. And they had to move to Surrey Gardens Music Hall. And then one particular Sunday, some troublemakers came in. And as the crowds of thousands of people were gathered, they shouted, "Fire! Fire! Fire!" It led to a stampede. People were rushing and leaving the services in all different ways. People were trodden upon. There was confusion, and it led to 7 people dying. Now, could you imagine Charles Spurgeon as pastor, looking at his people, seeing the struggles that have happened, the newspapers ripped into him and pulled him apart, the difficulties that man went through in God. And yet he would openly share with his congregation when he struggled with depression. Charles Spurgeon said this, "I am the subject of depressions of spirit so fearful that I hope none of you ever get to such extremes of wretchedness as I go." I read morning and evening by Charles Spurgeon. It's a devotional book. And he lifts me and he encourages me. Why? Because he knows the depths of depression. He knows the depths of failure. He knows the loneliness that there can be and the struggles, and you feel it. And the people felt it when they were listening to him. So how did Spurgeon recover? By turning to God's word. And that's what we need to do, don't we? When we're struggling, we've got to turn to God's word. We've got to turn the TV off and everything else off. And we've got to focus on God. So I'm coming back to that verse this morning because I want it to get into your heads. "I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you," I'm going to say this time, "with cords of unfailing kindness," because I think that's one of the King James versions, "and I will build you up again." So the first bit, "I have loved you with an everlasting love." God's love for you is everlasting because he chose you. Jesus said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." The Bible says we love him because he first loved us. So when did God love us? When did his love for us begin? Well, when I became a Christian back in 1993, the Holy Spirit led me to the book of Ephesians. Normally I would say go and read the Gospels when you become a Christian, but when I prayed, the Holy Spirit led me to Ephesians. And these verses are deep in my heart. He chose us in him before the creation of the world, to be holy and blameless in his sight. Can I repeat that? He chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship, so we can cry out this morning, "Heavenly Father, you love us so much." And we can feel it deep in our hearts. Through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has given to us in the one he loves. A few months ago, I was reading 2 Timothy chapter 1. And this really spoke to me as well. Paul said, he has saved us and called us to a holy life. Not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. The grace that was given to us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. Hallelujah. Before the beginning of time. And the same thought is echoed in Psalm 139. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Today, I didn't know that I would be standing here. 30, 40 odd years ago, I never knew that God would want me to be a preacher. But all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. The prophet Jeremiah, when God called him, the prophet Jeremiah, God said to him, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. That's wonderful, isn't it? Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. So chosen before the creation of the world, chosen before the beginning of time. It's an amazing thought. But have you ever reflected over your life and seen how God was at work in your life before you became a Christian? Have you ever done that? So, for example, my wife Yitka grew up under communism in the Czech Republic, but she always had a sense that God existed. When I was a teenager and getting into lots of trouble in a local gang, we would go to this recreation hall, we would break into it, we'd have lots of fun. And one night, I decided for some strange reason to take one of those little Gideon New Testaments that they give out in school. Do they still do that here? Can you put your hands up if you're at school? Did they give you a little red New Testament, Gideon? And I took out this New Testament thing. I was not a Christian or anything at that time. And I started to preach. And the reason I was preaching was to annoy people and keep them up at night. None of my other friends ever done anything like that. So why did I do it? God's, for some reason, chosen me even before becoming a Christian. Of course, God had the last laugh. Here am I now preaching to you. So God, the creator of the universe, as I said to you earlier, if it wasn't for him, I would be dead or in prison. I was a compulsive thief. I was a liar. But yet, I remember getting baptized and the pastor of the church prophesying and saying over to me that he felt that God wanted to use me and to preach and teach in the future. And when he said those words over me and gave those verses from 1 Timothy chapter 4, I broke down in tears. I thought, why would God want to use someone like me? All the evil and the bad things that I've done, all the things that I'm ashamed of, and I deeply regret. Why would God want to use someone like me? When I went to Bible college, they were surprised. I thought, what on earth have we got here? Richard Massey, the principal, he was amazed because I left Bible college with a 2-1 degree in theology. And he thought, how on earth did he manage to get that and everything? And because I'd done well at the valedictory service, he allowed me to share my testimony and to speak at the end of time. And before I got up, he said, he read those words from 1 Corinthians, God chooses the weak and the foolish things of the world. Amen? Put your hand up if you're weak and foolish. I am in a big way. Just ask Yitka. I'll tell you. She can tell you some things about me being weak and foolish. So it's not that we boast, is it? It's not about us at all. It's all about Jesus. All the glory goes to him. Hallelujah. Henry Nguyen said, the greatest spiritual battle begins and never ends. He was a Catholic priest that struggled with loneliness. He was single. He said this, the greatest spiritual battle begins and never ends with the reclaiming of our chosenness. Long before any human being saw us, we are seen by God's loving eyes. Long before anyone heard us cry or laugh, we are heard by God, who is all ears for us. Long before any person spoke to us in this world, we are spoken to by the voice of eternal love. I can't get my head around that, but it's true. And when he preached it, there was joy on his face. You can get him on YouTube preaching that. An amazing man of God. Chosen by the creator of the universe. Jesus chose you. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords chose you. Hallelujah. So let's return to that verse again. I've loved you with an everlasting love. God's love for you is everlasting. Yes, because he chose you, but also because he created you. In Psalm 139, it says, "You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb." It was my mum's favorite verse. The reason why is, when she was born, her mum didn't really love her at all. She grew up not feeling wanted. She can't remember a time that her mum said, "I love you." So she grew up feeling rejected. She felt like that her sister was the favorite one. And she went through these difficulties all this time of feeling rejection. Later on, she gets married to this person. It was not my dad. She gets married to this person. They start this relationship. And he's an adulterer. He cheats on her. She's got three children, single mum, growing up in a small village in Kent where everybody knows everything. And this guy would rub it in. He would come past with the big new trolley that cost lots of money with the baby inside from his new girl and rub it in past. As you can imagine, my mum felt absolutely worthless. Hey, her mum didn't seem to love her. This guy didn't seem to love her. Then later on, she meets this person who's obviously my dad, but at that time I wasn't born yet. Yeah, okay. And then my mum and my dad meet, and then later my sister Helen and I are born. Later on, she becomes a Christian. Born again Christian. Getting all her friends around my house in the front room, playing guitars and singing to Jesus. And I'm thinking, what's happened, Mum? Worried about her. But she kept carrying this sense of feeling worthless. She carried this sense of rejection for years in her Christian life. And then one day she read Psalm 139 and it broke her. "You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's eyes. I praise you because I'm fearfully and I'm wonderfully made." Hallelujah. You're not a mistake. You're not an accident. You're chosen by God and you're created by God. The next thing I want to say for you is God's love for you is constant. Hallelujah. It's constant. Now, we struggle with this, don't we? Because if we're backsliding and if we're far away from God, we don't think that his love for us is constant, but it is. If we're very weak and if we're struggling with our faith, and if we are faithless, we are struggling again and we're thinking to ourselves, is God's love really constant? Is he really there for us? God's love is constant for us all the time. As a father, my son Tim and the things that he does and the things that he gets into and everything else, Hannah, I constantly love them. Constantly. It doesn't matter if they go down some bad routes and I have to pick them back up and get them out. I just constantly love them. I don't like all their decisions, but I love them. So how much more our Father in heaven loves us? And how much more is his love constant for us? Constant love. You know the prophet Jeremiah? He went through so much tough stuff. He's one of the heroes of mine. When Jerusalem was besieged, he was imprisoned. He only ate a tiny little bit of bread each day in this imprisonment. He said this, "I have become the laughingstock of all peoples, the object of their taunts all day. He has filled me with bitterness. He has sated me with wormwood. He has made my teeth grind on gravel and made me cower in ashes. My soul is bereft of peace." And then he says this, "I have forgotten what happiness is." Have you ever been there? I have forgotten what happiness is. But in the midst of that lament, in Lamentations, there's a turning point. "But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases." You've got love up here everywhere, haven't you? "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness." His faithfulness, not our faithfulness, but his faithfulness. You know, it says in the Bible, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. He remains faithful. All the glory goes to him. So whenever I look to God, there's love flowing towards me. And we need that love, don't we? Because as Christians, we go through difficult times. I think of a lady called Corrie ten Boom. Put your hand up if you know who Corrie ten Boom is, please. See, I'm used to teaching in school, and my hands go up, and they're giving me lots of banter. They're calling me baldy and all these other things and whatever else, and I'm trying to get behavior under control. But it's good behavior here, so that's great. I don't have to worry about that. Normally, I have to walk around the classroom and deal with issues, so I'm not standing still like this normally. I'm all over the place. Corrie ten Boom, hero of faith. In World War II, Corrie and her family helped over 800 Jews escape from the Nazis. Remarkable woman of God. But there was a traitor, and Corrie and Betsy, her sister, ended up in Ravensbrück concentration camp. It was hell on earth. I don't know if you've ever seen the pictures of the concentration camp. Bodies on top of bodies. Hardly any food, disease going through, dysentery, horrible experience. I cannot imagine it, what it was like to go through that. Last night, you were talking to me about suffering, wasn't you? And why does God allow us to go through suffering and everything? Here's Corrie and Betsy in this concentration camp. At 3 o'clock in the morning, they used to get them up in the icy cold and make them stand outside. Can you imagine these women standing outside? And the Nazi soldiers, they were brutal. They would beat them for all different types of reasons. "And while we was on call," this is what Corrie wrote, "a cruel guard kept us standing for a long, long time. Suddenly, a skylark began to sing in the sky. And all the prisoners looked up to listen to that song, to that bird's song. And as I looked at the bird and I saw the sky, and I thought of Psalm 103, verse 11, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his love, or so great is his mercy towards them that fear him." And then she wrote this, "O love of God, how deep and great, far deeper than man's deepest hate. And God sent that skylark daily for 3 weeks, exactly during that roll call, that skylark singing in the midst of that pain, to turn our eyes away from the cruelty of man to the oceans of his love." And then in the midst of that camp, they held this Bible study. They got this Bible reading, and the light and the love of God was pouring forth out of them in the most difficult places. So his love for us is constant. Let's go back to that verse again. "I have loved you with an everlasting love." Let's move on to the second bit. "I have drawn you with unfailing kindness." How has God drawn us to himself? Well, John's gospel is amazing in this. In John chapter 6, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And I will raise him up on the last day. All that the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. So the Father, through the Holy Spirit, draws us to him. And he does that in lots of amazing ways. There was a couple of ladies on the Isle of Lewis. Anybody know where the Isle of Lewis is in the Hebrides? Peggy and Christine Smith. One was 84 and she was blind. The other was crippled with arthritis. And yet these two were burdened with their church because there was no young people in their church. They was going to the pub and to the dances and everything else. But they're drawn by the Holy Spirit. They're burdened for lost souls. Every Tuesday and Friday, they prayed from 10 in the evening to 3 or to 4 a.m. Burdened, weeping, asking God to move. God answered their prayers in amazing ways. Duncan Campbell came to that island. These two ladies bossed him around. They said, God has shown us you're coming to this island. Duncan Campbell, he hasn't shown me. But no, God showed us in a vision you're coming to this island. And he comes to that island. And when he comes to that island, he was going to go to the mansel or whatever to get ready. But they said, no, you've got to come to the church. And about 10 or 11 o'clock at night, the presence of God fell on that island. 700 or 800 people came in the evening, just in the night, just drawn to the church. There was 100 young people in a dance, far away from the church. Suddenly they felt convicted of their sin and they left the dance and they went to the church. 200 to 300 people went to a different part of the island and they went to the police station. And the reason they went to the police station was because one of the policemen was a faithful witness to Jesus and they knew he was a holy man. So they didn't go for the preacher, they went to the policeman. All over that place, God was drawing people to himself. Do you long for that? Do you long for that? That God would move in power, that he would draw people to himself in marvelous ways. Hallelujah. And I thank God for the way that he's drawn us in all different ways, isn't it? All different ways. You can be walking past the church. There's a lady called Lisa, and she just felt prompted to come into this church that I was going to. Why? Because it was the Holy Spirit drawing her. And we can get drawn to people and other things in all different types of situations. This verse from Jesus is important. Jesus said, when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people unto me. So we've got to lift Jesus on high, yeah? Now, I work in a secondary school in Lancaster and Morecambe, with children from the most difficult, deprived backgrounds. Many from broken families. Many got no idea who their dad is or who their mum is and the struggles that they go through. And as you can imagine, it can be a bit of a handful. Yeah? The behaviour issues, the problems that you can get. But I have total freedom to speak about Jesus in that school. It's a Catholic school. But the head teacher gives me total freedom. Everyone in that school knows I love Jesus. Everyone in that school knows if it wasn't for Jesus, where I would be. Now, I've noticed this in school. This happened this week, Thursday. I've got a class, 9A2. Difficult class to handle. Lots of difficulties they have, different problems. I got started teaching about Jesus's crucifixion because it's in the GCSE, hallelujah. So I'm teaching about the crucifixion and then I unpack all the sufferings that Jesus went through. How he was lied about by the chief priests and the religious leaders. How he was punched in the face. how he was blindfolded and that play that cruel game, hitting Jesus in the face. Prophesy, who done this to you? How they put a crown of thorns upon his head and the purple robe around him and got a stick and hit him on the head. How he was scourged probably at least 39 times with that cruel thing of leather and the bones and the flint would go into his back and some people would die even through that. How he couldn't even carry that cross because of the pain and the hurt that he was going through Jerusalem, that walk of shame, the Via Dolorosa. Then how he got to that cruel cross and the nails being put inside. Then how he's lifted up there before all people. And I show my class this anime video clip called The Last Day. You've never seen it. It's brilliant. And the class goes quiet. Absolutely quiet and still. And I just sense the Holy Spirit coming into the room. The Holy Spirit comes into that classroom as Jesus is lifted on high. And as his sufferings are lifted on high. That's what you need to do. You need to lift Jesus on high. You need to lift our crucified Savior on high. And everything that he does for us. And we are drawn to him. Hallelujah. Now I know time is moving on. And last little point. It's not going to be that long. Is that okay? Yeah. But I want to get to the last little bit. I've loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness. I will build you up again. Hallelujah. Can we get that inside this morning? I will build you up again. But God, I believe in, he rebuilds lives. He rebuilds churches. He can raise beauty from ashes. Hallelujah. Who's seen that? He's raised beauty from ashes. For a spirit of despair, he gives us a garment of praise. Hallelujah. This morning, you spoke about Mary. Mary's precious to me. There's a lady called Mary who came from Scotland, another lady who's precious to me. She ended up in a Barnardo's care home in Scotland. She went through tremendous abuse and hurt and pain. So she hasn't got a mum and dad. The people that are caring for her are hurting her. At 15, she leaves the care home because she's falling in love with this guy who's an alcoholic. And he's 21. They leave Glasgow. They come down to Morecambe, to the promenade. Anyone been to Morecambe, to the promenade? Oh, a few of you have been there. There used to be a fair there all the time at the front. And she was one of the ticket ladies that were taking the tickets, but she would be getting drunk all the time. Now, I've got a very good friend called Andrew Gardner, who's a pastor. Somebody contacted Andrew and said, there's this lady Mary, and we don't know what to do with her. She's drunk all the time. She's sleeping on benches. We need some hope, some help. So Andrew Gardner and his wife Catherine have got two children. They're living on a council estate where the manse is. And they say, right, we're taking Mary into our home. Now, Mary was wild. She was loud. Glaswegian accent, I can't do it. Has anybody got that? I can't do it. But she was loud, I'm telling you. And when she and everything, they take this lady into her home. You can imagine, teenage daughters or whatever. What have you done, Dad? And when the teenagers would go to school, Mary would search around the house for food because she was hungry. And there was this biscuit barrel full of biscuits. You can imagine that when the daughters come home, what did they find in the biscuit barrel? Nothing. All the biscuits are gone. And you can imagine that what happened and everything. But Andrew and Catherine took this lady in. She came to know Jesus. She got clear of the alcohol. Hallelujah. All the addictions and everything else. And Jesus saved her. One of her favorite verses is, I am a new creation. And she used to sing that old song again and again. I am a new creation. Lovely woman of God. When Yitka and I came to Andrew's church, and he went to pastor another church in Lancaster in 2003, Mary was there. And she was loud in the service. She would put her hands up. She would say things in the wrong places when everybody else was quiet. But she would say amen to me if I'm preaching or whatever. She would be encouraging or like that. So she would be a part of it. I used to visit Mary a lot. She was in these council flats. And people were telling me she kept falling over. I thought, why is Mary falling over? You know, when you become a Christian, it doesn't mean everything's going to be all right, does it? I read this morning in Acts, we must go through many tribulations to enter into the kingdom of God. Later, Mary went to the hospital and she was diagnosed with Huntington's chorea illness. Do you know that illness, Huntington's chorea illness? She lost the ability to walk. She lost the ability to sit up. Andrew, faithful pastor of a church, 350 strong, would continue to visit this lady. I would continue to visit this lady. Yitka and I would invite her into home. And she used to mock Yitka because she couldn't say Yitka, so she called her Nicker. And so she'd done it deliberately just to make us laugh. She had this little sense of humor, did Mary and everything else. Then obviously she went into care homes. She was at the Leonard Cheshire Disability Care Home. I would go to visit her quite a bit. Take her out in the wheelchair along the canal. I remember taking her out and we were singing, Jesus, love is very wonderful. You know that song. Mary, Huntington Career's illness, joy on her face, singing, Jesus, love is very wonderful. And looking at her and thinking, God, you're blessing me so much through this woman. Things that I get down about or moan about. Here she is. She saw a little dog along the canal. She loved dogs. The dog came running to her and everything else. She had a big sense of humor. Everybody in that care home knew Mary. In the end, she was fed through feeding tubes and everything else. Real struggles. I didn't know that Mary was going rapidly downhill. So I went to visit her. And at that time, Andrew was very, very busy in the church. And when I went into the room, the nurse said to me, she hasn't got much time left. I didn't know that. You know, before I didn't know that. God just guided me there by the Spirit, you know, to go. She was white, she was pale, she was breathing very, very slowly. I turned to Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me into paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And when I was reading those words, she took her last breath and she went to be with Jesus. And when that happened, the presence of God filled that room. There was this amazing peace. It's almost like the angels were coming to take her soul to be with Jesus. So when God says, I will build you up again, he will build you up again. When I get to heaven, Mary's going to be there and it's going to be loud. I don't know if I'm going to be next door to Mary. I don't know, but it will be loud. But she will be coming up to hug Andrew, Catherine. I don't know what she's going to call Yitka. But she will be loud again. So we go through tough times, yeah? We go through tough times, but God's love underpins everything that we go through. So let's just pray together and let's just invite the worship group to come back. Feel free to come back. I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness. I will build you up again. This morning, do you know deep inside that you're chosen by God? That you're created by God. Do you know that right at this morning, right in this, at this moment, his love is constantly towards you. Lord, I pray this morning that the Holy Spirit will shed abroad the love of God in the hearts of people this morning. The love of God break through this morning, we pray. May we sense his love in our hearts. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus. Vast, unmeasured, boundless, free. Rolling as a mighty ocean in its fullness over me, underneath me, all around me is the current of thy love. But Lord, we also thank you this morning that you have drawn us with cords of loving kindness. We thank you for the way that you've drawn us. We thank you for all the intercessors that pray for lost souls and weep, drawing people, bringing your power down to earth. Most of all, Lord, we thank you for your suffering upon the cross, how deep the Father's love for us, that he should give his only Son, Jesus. And this morning, if you don't know Jesus, then in the quietness of your heart, you can just ask him to forgive you of your sins. And he'll forgive you. And you can welcome him into your life if you don't know him. And if you're far away from Jesus this morning, if you're a prodigal son or a daughter struggling, Jesus' love for you is constant. Come back to Jesus. His arms are open wide for you. And God, you rebuild our lives. Hallelujah. You rebuild our lives. And we thank you for the way you've rebuilt my life, rebuilt Yitka's life, rebuilt the lives of every person in this room. Where would we have been without Jesus? We thank you. You rebuild us. And Lord, you're going to rebuild this church. You said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So we give glory to you this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.